on this fifth Sunday of January, we are finishing up our series, Is Game Time? Woo! And today, if you look in your sermon note sheet, it is there in the order of your service. What is our theme for today? What are we focusing on? Fourth quarter, stepping things up. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor and say, stepping things up. All right, fourth quarter, stepping things up. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I've been doing my research on football and history. Oh, I know. And I learned so much more than I intended to. It was so much like Pastor Kelly last week. Woo! But I admit it was very interesting and even exciting. So I'm just ready to share some of the powerful truths that will apply to our lives, amen, as we step things up, amen, for the Lord Jesus and for the glory of God in our lives. But before we begin, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Oh, praise your name, Lord God Almighty. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, we join in with God's chosen generation choir. Oh, we thank you for your presence in our lives, for your power in our lives. And Lord, we just confess today that we need you, Lord God. And Lord, we need you to release even more of your power into our lives and to our ministry for you. And so we just thank you, Lord, and we just ask that you would work in us as we actively listen to the preaching of your word. What is pleasing to you, work that in us and empower us and enlighten us and change us so that we can be more effective in our living for you. And it is our desire that you be glorified, that you be honored in and through our lives and in and through our family and together as the family of God, the body of Jesus Christ and all of our ministry unto your name. So have your way now is our prayer, and we give you thanks and praise ahead of time in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's saints join to say amen and amen. Amen. It's game time, saints. Fourth quarter. Stepping things up. Would you with me read 2 Samuel chapter 6? We're going to read just verse 14 and 15 there together. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. Woo! Sounds like David was having a good time. Amen? Amen. Have you ever been so happy that you just felt like shouting? I mean, you just couldn't hold it back. It was just, ooh, it was just in there ready to bust out. Amen. Oh, praise God, saints. It could be something as simple as something really went well and you just feel good about it. It could just be a yes like that. You know, anybody just do yes. Oh, I can remember after it was a young men of arms and it was a young ladies of faith gathering. It was over. We were cleaning up and leaving. And Jamil was walking on the other side of that wall. He was heading that way. And I was coming behind him and I saw him going, yes, as he was walking. He was doing that. And I said, Jamil, what are you up there yesing about? And he said, oh, we had a great night tonight in Men of Arms. It was just awesome. He says, I love it when a plan comes together. Yes. So, yes. I know. Don't you know the feeling? You don't feel good when a plan comes together and you feel like, ooh, you feel victorious. Amen. Oh, praise God. Usually our excitement mirrors our knowledge of the history of the accomplishment. When we know how long we struggled, or we know what went into the planning, or what all we did to make it happen, you know, we just can't help but, you know, shout and get all excited. I've been to so many graduations where they have printed there, please do not clap for each graduate. Wait till the end when all have received their diplomas and then clap. But every graduation, there is a parent out there somewhere who know what they went through to get their child across that stage, amen, and they just go ahead on and just shout what they got to shout, hallelujah. And then I've seen some graduations where they, you know, instructed students to be very dignified, and we went to Alabama State when our daughter Nita graduated, and they were supposed to be very, very proper, and but there was one person, he got on the stage, and he did that, And it, you know, I could feel him. You know, I know what it felt like to do all that work and get up there. But they didn't give him his diploma that day. He had to wait. Yeah, so that's how they discipline you. If you do anything like this or anything, you don't get the diploma for weeks, you know. But I felt the brother, he really struggled, you know. But he made it, and eventually they did give it to him. But when we're so excited, it's hard to resist that shouting and dancing, amen. And when we look at athletics, and today we are finishing up, it's game time. And so we look at athletic contests when players, they either are achieving a touchdown or they just picked up a fumble or they executed a great play. You know, it's just like, wow, yes, we fans jump up and they get so excited. But about 20 years ago, a phenomenon began in the end zone. Young black players began dancing in the end zone. All right. There was Icky Woods, and I don't know if you all know the Icky Shuffle, but it's like, Yeah. Okay, yeah, so he started doing that whenever he made one. Yeah, y'all know the Icky Shuffle, praise God. Amen. And then through the 80s and the 90s, we saw a number of end zone routines by athletes celebrating their touchdowns with a variety of dances, shuffles, and steps. And I was just so awed as I just looked through the internet at some of these. So one player, he got out there after his touchdown. He sat down on the ground. He acted like he was rowing a boat. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Then some jumped on the ground, and they looked like they, you know how you do the worm? You know, they was doing the worm. Some were breakdancing. It was like, oh, my goodness. And it was like, woo, the owners, we were excited. The players were excited. But the owners were not amused, all right? And so them doing that, it made them want to make touchdowns so they could do their thing, you know. But the owners didn't like it. And referees were instructed to flag anything that appeared to be excessive end zone celebration. But the end zone celebrations continued, even though the owners didn't like it. And some of them really did get so silly and some of them look so ridiculous, but the guys are out there. One, he took an ink pen from a Sharpie pen from the goalpost, and he took a football after his touchdown. He started doing like that and everything. It was like, oh, it's so crazy. But just for fun today, just for a little bit of fun, I want us to watch a very short video clip entitled Touchdown Celebrations. So regardless of what we think about end zone dances, one thing for certain, when we're in the fourth quarter especially, it's hard to keep that excitement contained when we're almost to victory and we keep doing things that are really right on. You threw that pass and it caught it. It's hard to hold it back, you know. But our text for today in 2 Samuel, it focuses on David as he danced a great dance in the celebration of the return of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of the presence of God. And it was a symbol that rests with Israel. It was a golden cubicle box that was constructed by Moses during the wilderness journey of Israel. And it symbolized God's presence with God's people. Now, the enemies of Israel, they noticed. They said, when God's people are carrying that ark, they seem to be victorious. So let's just go steal it from them. So the Philistines went and they stole that ark from Israel. Yet they brought it back when their men began to be inflicted with hemorrhoids problems real bad. So they said, we better get this back to them, you know. I would have sent it back too if I hadn't stole that, and that happened to me. But Israel, they felt lost without that ark. However, it was returned to Israel. The Philistines brought it back, but it was kept in a house and guarded for 20 years. And David wanted the ark to be seen and more visible in the presence of the people. God's presence was important. So David ordered the ark to be removed from the house where it was kept. And then it was brought to Obed-Edom with great fanfare. They were all cheering. However, en route was one of the Levites who the ark, some of them slipped, and the ark was falling, and he ran over to catch it, and you weren't supposed to touch it. And so he was struck dead immediately. Well, while the ark brought trouble for the